Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Joe, you were right. I did make it back.
You did. With time to spare.
Ooh, I missed some drama.
Middle of the update, I decided I wanted the coffee. Mm-hmm. Earlier today, I decided no coffee. Middle of the update, I think I can make it. Yeah. I get out there, and it's not hot.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. So microwave, too.
The microwave, which means it's going to smell like rigatoni.
Yeah.
But it was sort of, Joey, you watch the show. It's sort of the moment in the West Wing where they cut Bartlett's tie right before the debate.
Yes.
Sort of get him wired, get him going.
Yep.
That's what just
get
happened.
That adrenaline pumping a little bit.
Yeah. Just having, not the coffee yet, but the walk. Like, I'm not sure I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Did make it. There it is. So, what are you more in the mood to talk about? And I ask that knowing that the Sabre topic is mostly upsetting and the schedule is fun and the Bills are good and like there's nothing not to like about that. So, but is the Sabre thing so weighty? What on that? Here's another way of asking the same question. Did anything change for you today about them?
No.
No, right?
No. Like No. I think Adams, did okay. I don't think I would say more than that. Like, I don't think he hit a home run. But he stayed out of the ditch, which was important. I think he defended their position on the revolutionary surgery idea that Eichel seems to want effectively, and defended their medical staff, their doctors, without, I think, really putting on brass knuckles and punching Jack in the face at all. I think he managed to deftly do that. But I still think there's a huge problem, and I think he's absolutely gone, as is Reinhardt. At least if they can't get a long-term deal done with Reinhardt, it's a different situation. They have his rights, but I think if he won't sign a long-term deal, they're going to have to trade him. I felt that way after Monday when Reinhardt and Eichel both made their feelings public, and we talked a lot about that yesterday, and I'm still in the same place. I think it's really convenient, and it's also correct, to say that, you're excited about the young guys, they want to be here, and all that sort of stuff. They also have no real power in the scenario. Guys that do seem like they want to get the hell out of here. And, that may be because they're jerks, or that may be because they think the Sabres are a clown show. You can choose, it's probably somewhere, I think the Sabres definitely deserve some criticism. Clown show might be strong. But nothing changed to me. Like and I didn't really expect anything to change. I guess there was always some chance he was going to really come out firing at Eichel. But I didn't think that was in his best interest or the organization's best interest.
No.
So therefore, it never seemed likely to me. But, it could have happened. But I wasn't expecting, a lot to change. He also could have made it worse, and I don't think he did that. And that's why I mean, like, he did okay. Like, he stayed out of, to me, like, escalating the situation with Eichel. I think it's, you know, but I don't know where you really escalate to if you think he's going to get traded. Like, that seems like pretty much the button's already been pushed.
Yeah, you really don't, for the sake of a trade, potentially, and I think for your own roster and the fans would probably get a rush out of it, but is it overall a good idea to talk like you're sort of accelerating toward a trade today? And he didn't. I think this, I've said it every time we've heard him. Like, I think he has a really good, you know, way about these. Like, he's sharp, I think, Adams. You have to be to talk, especially when it's challenging like today would be. Oh, I think maybe you yesterday said every time he's talked, it's been challenging for one reason or another. Like, yeah. I mean, that's right. But I thought today was a hard one. And Paul Hamilton just posted and then tweeted his article, which is very much a transcript of Adams on Eichel at first. That's how he started today. And then on what they're going to do. And I guess it was Paul who asked him, as Paul wrote, about players who've been on Sabre teams that have lost for many years. Like, I think there'd be a sense that, a sentiment that you really just need to get rid of those guys. It was said about Larson a lot, you know, just, oh, they've been around for so long.
Right.
And Adams on that, he was almost perfect on that. And in short, he's basically like, I don't care about that, really. I mean, I'm not sure he would put it in those words, but really that's what comes across is it's not about whether they have been around for a lot of losing. It's about whether they're best for us now. And then he added to that, which was really good. He added to that, I have to understand, though, and respect what has happened. And that's the point about Larson in the past and these guys now is like, when do you just say, who cares? Yeah. I've said it. I have those times when, like, I just like, who cares anymore? Just change them out, whatever. And he recognizes that and then eventually says, this is a great job, I think, if I may. I understand the fan base, the frustration, and it's real. It happened. But we can't wake up and dwell on that. And we can't look at players and say, this player can stay and this player can't stay because of how long they've been here. It's more about, are you a part of the solution? And do you want to be here? And do you want to be part of something great? And do you want to make this fan base proud or don't you? Wow. The part about the fan base is really cool because it's almost like, you can kind of sort of sound like you're guilting the player into, you know, and that probably doesn't change Jack Eichel's mind.
Right.
Eichel knows and probably cares, maybe deeply, that his career has started this badly from a team standpoint. Like, are you going to be a part of the fix or not? If you're not interested in that, goodbye.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how I, the fan, want Adams to be talking.
Yeah, I was really glad. I was really happy not to like toot our horn. I mean, but I really liked Paul there. Like he did a good job in framing that question to Adams because everything is what does the player want? Is the player said he wants to go? Are you going to cave into that? Are you at the mercy of the player? And Paul sort of turned it, you know, 45 degrees or 90 degrees and said, like, are you sick of them? Basically, I mean, he didn't say it that way, but like, do you think you need to make changes here because this isn't working? And it's a good question, you know, like, are you motivated to blow this up even though you've got so much invested in these guys because you keep losing and losing and losing? And so I appreciated Paul thinking to ask that question that way. And I appreciated Adams's response on it too.
Right. So I agree that it doesn't change a lot. It doesn't, like Eichel talked about a disconnect. That's the real buzzword about this situation. And Adams cleverly, I think, said the disconnect is between the team and the city. We'll talk to Paul about that later. Like, he's not wrong. But it doesn't change what Eichel said. Like,
right.
The player is talking about a disconnect between him and you. So that's your problem. And, you know, Adams is right, but doesn't really, like, that doesn't change that. Again, though, this is a public thing, and he doesn't want to punch back, if you will.
Right. No. Nor admit that, like, yeah, you know, we're in a real bad place as it pertains to the medical. You know, just anything. Like, look, I think it's one thing to have all the big hockey media and us and just everyone assuming that this has reached the point of no return and that Eichel has to go. And, you know, I don't know how much you can, like, really get around that when you start talking to teams about it. But I think there is a difference, even if it's subtle, and it might not be, between getting on the phone with the New York Rangers or the LA Kings and talking about Eichel from a standpoint of, you know, your counterpart knows you have a gun in your mouth about it. you're just there's no way out for you. As opposed to, like, look, you know, I know this might sound crazy, but he's under contract. You know, like, I don't have to trade him. He may not be happy, but I'm not going to just do it just because I have no choice right now. Like, we need to make a good trade.
You always have a choice, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, if that's what I mean about how, you know, it was important to not escalate the dissension and the dysfunction between Eichel and the Sabres from the Sabres standpoint, because I think it could take on the look of, like, this obviously has to happen no matter what. And I don't think we're there. I think it's in their best interest to part ways and make a good trade as soon as possible. I definitely believe that. But that's not the same as I got to sell them off no matter what right now. So I think Adams did in that respect. Maybe that's the best thing that came out of today. And I got to admit, I was pretty optimistic that that would happen. Like, I thought he would, you know, get this thing parked safely without escalating the thing between they and Eichel.
The injury piece is far from settled. And I don't even mean just, like, people's attitudes about it. The way Adams described it, and it was, the detail was sufficient, I would say, that you're talking about still through May or into June before this period of time where they had talked about, like, playing it slow will have passed. So nothing's imminent. Nothing's going to be imminent on that because of the injury. I mean,
I do think it's a little odd, unless I miss something. A guy that used to call us all the time, Tony is his name, tweeted during this. I just happened to see it as I was scrolling through Twitter listening to Adams, that, like, he talked about this 12-week window of rest and rehab as opposed to surgery. And that they're still in the 12-week window. It doesn't end until the end of May, I think, is what Adam said. So how does that line up with them talking about him maybe being able to return at some point? Like, if their diagnosis was rest and rehab, 12-week window, where was there ever optimism organizationally about Eichel playing another game this season? That doesn't make any sense.
The only thing I could guess is that if either through the rest or through surgery even, there would still be a chance for his being available. And so you could settle for, like, I've had the same question, but you could settle for just, like, the bottom line was there was uncertainty about him. So they chose to just leave it at that, basically, and not even talk about his injury for a while, what it was. So they could have done that differently, but I don't feel like it was exactly contradicted or anything today. I'm not left wanting by this. You know, he did, as we've said, he did lay out what happened with the injury, and you want to go talk to somebody else, we encourage that, but we're not comfortable with you having an operation that no NHL player has ever had and made it back from. And that seems reasonable, I think. So I think maybe still the bigger point, this has certainly been said since Monday, and since Monday, geez, since 2017, the losing takes its toll. And we don't know exactly what the balance is between the losing and the neck injury for Eichel. And it could be 90-10. He could have been into this season, the way people speculated about his future before the season even started, he could have been like, you know, one more thing and I'm just done. I can't.
Yeah.
They ended up on this crazy losing streak. He's not scoring. He's hurt going in, and then he's hurt again. And that might have been enough for him to just want to be – I'm not saying that the whole thing about his injury is a game or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. Just, you know, you said this kind of thing yesterday.
Yeah.
He might not have needed much to push him to the point of no return.
Yeah. And I think putting together all the, you know, all the Zoom conferences, like taking into account, like what I said yesterday, and I'm not going to try to lay it all back out as carefully as I did yesterday or more recklessly than I did yesterday. I liked how I put it yesterday. But hearing Adams sort of nudged me further in the direction of like this injury and the potential disagreement about how to handle it, treatment and rest versus surgery, could have been like viewed by Eichel and Eichel's camp as like his, you know, he's got a bomb strapped to his chest now. And like, I'm going to use this Zoom conference on Monday to activate it. I feel like that's, you know, it's at least possible, plausible. I don't know that it's right, and it is not at all meant to question the authenticity of Eichel's injury, just that it is, like, you know, desire and long-range goals meet situation, reputation of organization, and just there's opportunity here. We can craft this in such a way that you can get out of there without really ever demanding that you want to get out of there. If that means something to you, avoiding the appearance of quitting on the Sabres.
Okay. Paul will join us later and we'll be here for your calls on this. What do you think about the schedule stuff that we know? I think New Orleans is awesome.
I'm waiting for you to tell me what we really know. I'm waiting for you to tell me what we really know.
I have taken the day off. I was not up all night. I got excited last night when stuff started to come out, and we were tweeting about that, Sal and I and some people. But today has not been how do you picture it? A whiteboard and markers.
Right.
I mean, you've seen me do some of that in the past. It has not been that kind of day for me. You know, early the league, it's when I first checked my phone today, week one was out. Like everybody was all announced already what was happening in week one. I'm like, you know, I don't have to be a leader today. I didn't think I needed to do that. I feel like I can just sort of sit back. So I do think we know the whole thing. And I think that's been true for a couple of hours.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen something that looks like the whole thing. And I guess I'm waiting to hear if you think that's trustworthy. Because
you
know, this has been your area more than mine. I'm not suggesting that you should have had the whiteboard out and done all that work.
Well,
but like, what do you trust, basically, what I'm asking you? Because I think our audience knows how into this you are. And like me, they may want to hear your thoughts on what you trust and don't trust at this point. That's what I'm sort of suggesting here.
I don't feel like, maybe Joe, you would know this. I'm not sure how closely you're looking at it, but I don't think there very much is in dispute.
No, okay. I have a couple that have asterisks next to it, but
for like Saturday or Sunday could be a thing late in the season. There are a couple of those.
And the other games that, like, I don't know how much I want to trust the source that it came from, but it's still out there. So there's a couple asterisks on those also. Like week two at Miami might be that. I don't think I've seen that from anyone even half reputable, but.
Okay.
But it's out there.
You know, you guys are right to, you know, keep me in check on that. But the Steelers week one is solid.
Right.
And that's super cool. I love that they're home in 1 o'clock on Sunday in week one. Pittsburgh is a cool team to play in that spot. You've got a little bit of a streak going against the Steelers, which is new after years of just always being second inferior to the Steelers. Head-to-head and overall. Now you've beaten them a couple times in a row in big games. That's hot. Like, that's a great first game for me. You want a picture-perfect day with a full stadium one way or another, and there's a lot of juice, I think. Mm-hmm. So I would think you'd agree, even though you kind of liked other ideas more.
Yeah, I like Kansas City on the road Sunday night, like, just for the status and the rematch and all that, and we'll get that. You know, a few weeks from then, I think, right? Do we trust that? Like the Kansas City
week five.
Football week five?
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. I'm glad that it's at least at this point, we, you know, reportedly going to be in that slot. But yes, I mean, the home sunshining party, like celebrate first time back and all that stuff. You know, you guys made a good argument the times that we have talked about this in depth, and Pittsburgh definitely rates as an opponent. I think I mentioned New England, or Joe mentioned New England, and I like that idea. Pittsburgh, you know, in certain ways maybe outranks New England, although maybe they and New England are the same in that maybe they're still, well, New England was down last year. I don't know if they'll be back up. Pittsburgh might be on the way down. They might be New England of last year. But still, they're the Steelers. They're a, you know, big, famous team. And, yeah, you've played them in prime spots the last 2 weeks, once there, once here. So, you know, and geographically it works. It's good. It's not Houston for week one, you know.
Right.
Or Washington or whatever. It's good. It's good.
I think most, if not all, of the speculation is that Washington and Houston in that order will be the next two home games, or the next, you know, weeks 3 and 4.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Are what the thinking is there, since you mentioned those teams. Yeah, it is kind of cool how the Steelers and Patriots are sort of a different team. They're different teams to sort of ponder as opponents. The Patriot thing is like so intense. I didn't care if it was going to be Houston. I would have been fine with anybody as long as it was a home game. And the thought of we're working toward getting fans back in there. Like I said, when I first turned to this sort of stuff today, the week one schedule is out, and I'm reading tweets from Jeremy and other people about it. And at one point, Jeremy was in a conversation about the how many Steelers fans would be there for this game, you know, potentially. And he said something on Twitter like, listen, every Bills fan you know will want to be at that game. And that's exactly how I feel about it. And he mentioned Canada. Somebody, I think that was a response to somebody saying, well, what about Canadian fans? I feel like the border, my guess is, it's just a guess, that it'll be possible by then, too. So that'd be great if that happens. I love it. I love it. I love a couple other things, too. New Orleans is amazing. That is amazing. People,
Thanksgiving night?
Yes. Yeah. For as many people as there are who travel with the Bills, how much better can it get than that? Like, Dallas was like that a couple of years ago. I mean, San Francisco didn't happen. That was a tough one there. Last year, the whole thing was tough. I love that one. That's going to be good teams in that Thanksgiving night. The Cowboy game isn't even that always. Like, the Bills getting Dallas on Thanksgiving was just weird to me. And that was their only game that was not, what, Sunday at 1 on that schedule when they wrote it. So this is like respect, and I don't know. I love that. I love that choice. I wish I'd thought of that, because New Orleans has played in that Thanksgiving night slot a couple of times at least. And so that sort of makes sense. I don't know. Just I love that game. I mean, who's not going to want to go to that game for people who travel to see the Bills? New Orleans, every 8 years?
Absolutely right.
Night game? Like, come on. That's so good. New Orleans is a town where it's like always nighttime. And you go into a night game there. Really, I just love it. I love it. And I will not be going. I sound like somebody who's planning a trip.
Right.
I'm not going to be going to that game, I'm pretty sure.
Right. And it's a holiday. Like, so you can, whatever.
It's
not till the nighttime. Like, you can even travel on Thursday morning if you want to.
That's right. Good point.
You know, so you don't have to miss. Like, it's just, it's pretty good. Like, it's different than if it was at, you know,
if it was
early
the,
or whatever. We know that those games are locked in for Detroit and Dallas.
Like, week 6 at Nashville would be a great travel game, but it's a Monday night. You got to take Monday, Tuesday off, and then you're back on Wednesday at work. Like, yeah, New Orleans is like, I'm off till Monday.
Nashville, and Nashville is yesterday's news for Bills.
Nashville's every year, week 6, it seems.
It was 5 a few years in a row.
Yeah,
week
actually.
5, it was, right, 3 years in a row, maybe.
803-0550 for your calls. Schedule, best thing, worst thing. There's not, you have one night game at home only. Maybe fans were hoping for better than that.
A total of 4 counting the Thanksgiving night game, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Possibility of some games moving late in the year. But I'll tell you about that, by the way. That's another thing to talk about with the schedule, is how the flex thing will work this year. All right, got to stop. 803-0550. We'd love to hear from fans, Bills or Sabres, the Adams press conference, if you're more focused on that, fine. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Paul Hamilton at 4 today. This is WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's definite signs of progress, I felt. I mean, I think that was obvious. And I say obvious because we're in an industry where everybody knows each other. I mean, there's three, four, five coaches in this division I've coached against historically as we grew up as coaches through the American League or ECHL. Players that you've coached through the league, you hear players in our locker room played with other players. So we know that we gradually earned more respect through our opponents, whether that be, you know, from their coaching staff or the players we played against. We saw better results in, you know, data, obviously.
Don Granato today, Sabres interim coach speaking, as well as the GM, Kevin Adams. And, you know, Granato, he's good at this too. I care a lot about the talking. Talking is my profession. And I know how there's not a perfect correlation between communication skills and coaching ability. There's not. You don't have to tell me that. But it means a lot. Whatever your job is, you need to be able to communicate yourself, express yourself intelligently and smartly. And that's probably the same thing. So I'm not doing this. But Granato is good. I mean, he sounds good. And he happens to say, maybe this is reinforcing my position, he happens to say a lot of things I agree with. You know, he mentions data like it's not even a... Some of these guys feel like they're lifting heavy rocks to even spit out words like that. Like, I feel like I'm supposed to say it, so I got to mention numbers. But it just sort of rolls off the tongue for him. So I feel like it's more believable. You know, it could be a team without Eichel or even Reinhart where you're just looking at a very young team with hardly any expectations, and maybe he's the right, you know, he's the right kind of coach for that.
Yeah, that might work. I mean, do you really – if you are trading Eichel away for someone younger than Eichel, right? And maybe the same goes for Reinhart, and Reinhart's a year older, I guess, right? Is Bruce Boudreau a good idea? Right? Like, that's been our favorite idea for this team going back to before Kruger got fired, more years than mine, but I'm certainly was open to it. It didn't sound like a bad idea to me at all. Far from it. But like, is that coach even interested in this job if Eichel and Reinhart aren't here and you're starting over with even younger guys? Like, a guy like Granato might, you know, make a lot of sense in that respect, because I think we have seen what you know, you like how he sounds. Yes, so do I. I like how a lot of the young guys on this team have played under him. And, you know, there might be some luck involved in that and a small sample size. But I think there's reason to be optimistic that he has a way of reaching the young guys. And if I'm going to have three or four more young guys on the team in place of Eichel, Reinhart, and Ristolainen next year, well, you know, maybe that's the coach for them then.
Could go back. Not everybody, of course, is in the mood for this, but it would sort of take you back to when the suffering was about to begin, you know, the quote suffering hashtag. And you had the Sabres publishing that pamphlet with all the draft picks and everything like that. Like, here's who's coming. Now you're talking about potentially trading two great players off the team. That's sort of different. I mean, they had good to great players back then, but not like these guys who are young like this, everything.
Right.
And so that there'll be a different taste in your mouth about it, but you could still end up in a similar place where you've got a lot of pieces to hopefully turn into a winner. And Cousins is a pretty good thing to have already. You know, like he seems like a sort of a complete good idea for a young player to take all this on. Yeah, well, I'm a little bit excited. I mean, I do love draft picks and rebuilding in general. I love that in my fantasy world. I like those kind of projects. I signed up for that one team that was the worst I've ever seen, had no draft picks, and I just was like salivating over it. Give me that. Mm. They all felt so bad for me and happy that I took it that they didn't even charge me. That's how bad this roster was.
Yeah. Well, they should definitely get some of that in this, but I think the caliber of player, especially in the case of Eichel, and I think, you know, to a lesser degree, Reinhardt, you should be able to get NHL players to step in too, like ready-made, like not I'm not talking older veteran guys, like I said, but you should get, you know, I think I'm excited by what the caliber, like what is going to be available to them of guys that were drafted in the last 2 years. Like that's where my mind is at on this. And if, you know, teams that were at the top of the draft the last couple of years are in the market, like LA and New York, like I am all ears on big names, guys that were drafted, you know, in the first half hour of those drafts.
Checking a couple tweets as we get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Schenick and King, a full service law firm. Most of what I got in response to the compliment toward Adams was in agreement. Not all of it. One person said completely different things than I was even thinking of when I wrote what I wrote about how well I think he did with one particular answer. And you see that sometimes on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You do, right? I had an interesting conversation with a friend last night about all that. Like, just, I don't know. I don't want to go into it now. But anyway, sorry, I'm messing up. This is not getting connected with fans at all. That's what the client wanted. I'm hardly doing it.
You and the fans. There's a disconnect. Right,
there's a disconnect. That is true. One more Sabre thing that I think is kind of interesting. Like, so for me, and I have company, Ristolainen should have been gone 5 years ago. Like, just obvious. Should have been gone 5 years ago. More people came around eventually, but it's amazing to me that he's still on the team. And so his comments are, you know, were somewhat newsworthy too.
Sure.
Like when he said, in so many words, you do what you think is right. Like Adams today,
break my heart if you trade me out of here.
Yeah, right? I'm fine with whatever kind of. And yeah, Adams today did sort of draw a line between guys. He said that he talked about how he asked players if they wanted to be here, and players, including Ristolainen, at least, were like, you know, whatever. And I don't know if he sounded like that, but you know what I mean.
No, yeah, no, Adams went, I think he wanted to make sure, I felt like he maybe said it more than once, that like he was grateful for the honest, open responses he got to that question when he asked the players about it. So that indicates to me that he got plenty of, yeah, you can trade me to Minnesota, that's fine. Get me out of here.
Like, if it's my team, if for some spectacular reason I become in charge of the Sabres right now, Ristolainen's off the team before Jeopardy's on. Like, that's just, there's just, you wouldn't have to worry about going to bed tonight with this player still on the roster. So when he says, I get why it's relevant, and it's a little bit controversial. It's not very controversial. And I get why it's relevant in terms of what Adam said, but it doesn't really matter what he thinks, right? Like, you don't have to get his approval or anyone else's.
Yeah, no,
yes.
Right.
You don't need him to tell you that he's right. Open to being traded. That's up to you.
Right. But what he does say, it does, you know, if you are going to draw that line, And, you know, it's reasonable to do so. We want guys who want to be here. You know, Ristolainen, in a certain sense, even for his fans, he did the organization a favor by saying what he said, you know, because, you know, I think maybe some people who would defend Ristolainen or be upset about, you know, the criticism he gets or just his not being on the team might also be the sort of people that would listen to a guy sound like he doesn't want to be here and say good riddance. Like, almost regardless of how good a player the guy is. So it makes it easier for Adams, if he's worried about fan approval, to move on Ristolainen if he wants to.
It also makes it easier if Kevin Adams and the Sabres still think he's a valuable piece of the future and they were to want to re-sign him, which sounds crazy to me, but if they were to want to do that after one more year, Ristolainen sounding the way he sounded and having to imagine that he's not very willing to sign an extension should make the decision a lot more easier for the Sabres, who have to decide probably between him and Will Borgen who to protect in the Seattle expansion draft. Yeah,
that's a good point, Joe, because I've made the point about Reinhardt. If Reinhardt only will take a one-year deal here, then I got to trade him. Well, Ristolainen is basically the same thing. He's on a one-year deal. And if you are sure he's going to leave, you should try to recoup something from him, you know, before he leaves for nothing.
It's no longer about how good do you think he is. It's, do you think there's any chance he's staying?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Where have you been, by the way? Second shot.
Second shot hit me like a. It was tough.
That bus ran through all of us. That bus ran through the whole neighborhood here at GR. Everybody felt the bus. The second shot bus.
Yeah, it was rough. Definitely like a bad flu for the whole day yesterday.
Well, I'm glad you're back. And what have the last 2 days worth of news been like for you with the Sabres? Because, you know, you have an important voice on this show and you're talking now about Seattle. I feel like you have a better handle on that than I do. Maybe Seattle is a big team in the Sabres offseason with not only the expansion draft, but maybe more?
I think it should be. I think that blue line point for me is more pertinent. I think forward-wise, Sabres already kind of have a tough time filling out seven forwards. Like, you're getting to Asplund and Thompson. You're already at middle stats. Like, I think you have a pretty easy time protecting all the forwards you want, whether or not Eichel or Reinhardt are a part of that, because of course they would be. The defense part of that with Ristolainen to me is more interesting because Will Borgen has finally showed up on the scene here as a young prospect defenseman that could play on the team. And if Ristolainen is going to leave in a year anyway, if they're going to choose 82 more games of Rasmus Ristolainen over another however many years you might get out of Will Borgen, that's crazy to me. So the expansion draft part of that is really only about the blue line. I haven't thought yet about like Reinhardt and Eichel and like trade scenarios, just because like it's just trying to piece together, because I've been asleep for half these days.
Yes.
So I wake up
and there's
like
bus ridden.
Right. I wake up and there's just like an hour's worth of reading about like what has happened and what's going on between the two sides. So
right. Well, this might be a tough thing to say now or ask you now. Like, what is the timing of everything? Do you know, like, even loosely? I don't need exact dates, but I know the draft is the end of July, 23rd, 24th, somewhere in there. The expansion draft, I presume, is before that, or was it in different order last time? I forget.
I don't remember the order last time. I think Vegas's expansion draft maybe came first. They're pretty close together. This year, the Seattle expansion draft is July 21st. The NHL draft starts July 23rd. So it's a three-day
free agency
window.
Waiting until August 1st because of the timing of the draft, then?
I think that's right. That's the one date that I haven't looked up yet. So
okay, all right.
It's a festival.
I just wondered, like, if you when do you want to make a trade? Like, I mean, obviously, if you're gonna trade Reinhardt or Eichel for assets, you have to protect them. But if you get you might be able to trade them for guys that don't need to be protected.
No, right. If you're trading
because of their age
for a pick and a prospect, you don't have to protect anybody.
Okay.
Or Reinhardt and Eichel might be different in that way, where, I mean, who knows how many pieces you're getting back. If one of those important pieces is a guy who's played 3 years in the NHL.
Isn't Seattle an amazing idea for this? Isn't that look at it from the other side. Imagine Seattle being able to start its franchise with this guy. I don't mean Ristolainen, by the way. Nine. like imagine you can start. It's like Gilbert. You imagine, and you know what you've got. You can start your franchise. Look, are they going to try to – are they going to think that what happened with Vegas is like sort of realistic? I mean, I guess it's possible, but
yeah.
Holy cow, did Vegas ever just – I mean, they did a lot of smart things, mostly because other teams, namely Florida, were really stupid. Yeah. But, you know, maybe that happens again. It's kind of – it's a little bit of a trap. I mean, that shouldn't happen. So no, you have right. this – maybe a special opportunity here if you're them. And if the Sabres are looking for somebody, I don't know how you get paid by Seattle exactly.
Right.
In a trade
they'd
that.
Have to get their hands on the young guys that you want in a trade, and I don't know how they do that. Because
no.
you're probably not getting your hands on those guys for favors of not picking somebody off of LA's roster, for example. They're not giving you Byfield so that they can protect Turcotte or something. Like, this is not going to happen.
It'd be that.
They don't have to protect those guys anyway, but sorry.
It'd be that top three pick.
I was going to say, yeah, and I don't think that's getting you Eichel.
No, not by itself. No,
but
I agree.
Maybe Reinhardt, who's from Vancouver.
Yes. All right. Seattle as a hockey thing. Paul joins us at 4. We'll look at the Bills schedule again, what we know about it after a break. Mike Schoeppe and the Bulldog, WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The knock on him, and deservedly so, is he doesn't throw a great anticipation. You look at great quarterbacks, and even guys like Drew Brees that don't have cannons for an arm, you know, you have to throw with anticipation in this league. Otherwise, you know, you're going to hold the ball, you're going to take sacks, and you're going to fumble the ball, and that was the problem for Taysom Hill. So we'll see how this quarterback battle shakes out, but that's the prime position that Saints fans and the media will be focused on during training camp.
Christian Gerrick, WWL New Orleans, this morning here on WGR. Check it out. Odyssey is the name to know. AUDACY. That's our app now. It used to be radio.com. And also, our shows are available at WGR550.com. Just got a stat from Mr. Andrew Filippone, texted to me. So, Pittsburgh.
Is he working?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell him you asked. It's the right question.
Right.
I would never text anybody during a show. I mean, I'm so focused.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew says, So it's Pittsburgh at Buffalo week one. And the early line was Bills minus 6.5. I mean, that's a good number. It's one of the biggest lines of the week, actually. So a lot of confidence in them and less on the Steelers, in the Steelers. He said, remember the game where the Steelers beat the Colts in the playoffs with Jerome Bettis? And the Colts might have been undefeated for most of that season, and they blew it. Pittsburgh went in there and won, and then Pittsburgh won the Super Bowl that year, 2005.
Okay.
So.
I don't directly recall that.
There's game. A fumble play you'd remember from
yes,
this game.
Yes, I was just going to say, isn't there a fumble play? And
the Steelers fumble on the one.
Roethlisberger.
And Roethlisberger tackles the Colts guy, right?
He just barely trips him up.
And or else he scores.
He was gone.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So it was a pretty big upset.
Yep.
I don't know the line exactly, but it was at least 6.5 because, according to Andrew, that's the last game Roethlisberger has won in the league when they were a 6.5 point underdog or greater.
Wow.
Come on, right? That's almost his whole career.
That is a,
He was a rookie in 04.
Right. Joe. I mean, it's a good question to ask is how often have they been 6.5 point underdogs because Ben Roethlisberger is their quarterback, right? Because
I was going to say, has Tom Brady ever done that? He also maybe has never been a 6-point underdog, Tom Brady. So I can't imagine Roethlisberger's been a 6-point underdog very often. Maybe against Tom Brady. So
yes, I would think there'd be a couple of those. But you're right. Still, it's 15 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Baltimore's good. Like
right, they're always good.
They don't play the Chiefs. Like that's a. I don't know how many games it is. Let's guess, because Andrew will know. Let's say it's. Is it 5 games? Is it 10?
I would go low. I would go 5.
Yeah, like 7 or 8 was where I was thinking. Sure. Yeah.
Not even one a year. Okay. I think it's got to be double digits, but maybe I'm wrong. I'll find out. I'll ask him why he's texting me, and then ask him to reply to my text. With this follow-up question.
Right.
Well, I'm working too, right. Okay, there's a lot to do here. Paul Hamilton, back to the Sabres next. Keep it tuned here for the schedule news throughout the day. We think we know it. We'll really dig into it after our chat with Paul. But again, we're here for any comments you might have on the Eichel crisis, maybe, and the Sabres. So now you know, if you didn't. Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs, Sneaky Joe, Paul next here on WGR.